Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, CFAB, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank, Bahamas, Island Pay, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Hello? Kermit, you got me? I am myself. Are we live? All right, hold on. I can't have my music, no nothing. See, that's why I don't like doing the show outside of the studio. All right, I'm just going to believe that I'm actually on air and people can hear me. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Juan McCartney. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay. We are going to be, well, I am going to be broadcasting the show from home for today, possibly tomorrow, because unfortunately, my son contracted COVID-19. I'm 99.99% sure at school. And he passed it along to my daughter, who passed it along to me, and I passed it along to my wife. No one has any symptoms any longer. Must have been the Omicron variant. The kids had a fever, respectively, a day apart. And anytime the kids have a fever, it's very worrisome. And so we monitored that very closely, got some good advice from doctors, loaded them up on medicines and vitamins, and they were able to push through that really quickly. I didn't feel much. Friday, I felt fine. I wasn't aware that I had COVID-19, and I did go into the office, but I double masked. If that's any concession, I don't even know that that works. But anyway, I went into the office on Friday. I felt fine. The kids were feverish overnight that Thursday night into Friday morning. And that all stopped by Friday. I felt very tired Friday afternoon, but I normally feel tired every day. Like around 3-4 o'clock hits, I feel an overarching need to take a nap. I just chalked it up to being an old man. I don't sleep well half the time. That also is perhaps an old man thing. And I was just laying in bed because I was like, okay, I'm beat. It's been a long week. I worked out every day. And my wife came and lay down next to me and she was like, you're burning up. You know, and I was like, okay, well, sure, let's take the temperature. So I took my temperature. It was about 101. And I took some Panadol for that. And by the next morning, I felt fine. My wife was a little sicker than I was. Well, actually, she was a lot sicker than I was. I don't know, man. Everything hits her hard. Like the vaccine hit her hard. Like this hit her kind of hard. You know, she was having, you know, real fatigue and body aches, you know, bit of a fever over the weekend. But Someone says masking helps. I hope so. Because I'm not trying to minimize anything for anybody out in the general public. COVID's not nothing to play around with. And I don't know if it's because I'm vaccinated or what. I've had worse hangovers than what I went through with Omicron over the weekend. I believe it's Omicron. Definitely we had COVID. All right, so I'm trying to test out. I'm going to go tomorrow and try to test negative so I can get back into the office because I got meetings and stuff I need to go to, and I can't go back to the gym until I test negative. My daughter can't go back to school until she tests negative. My son's school is grade 3 and 6 are on virtual anyway. They're trying to salvage end of year exams. There's some uptick in the COVID spread, guys. All right, no doubt about it. A lot of y'all aren't built like me, right? I'm hardcore. I take all my vitamins and my supplements, although a friend of mine was putting me onto some other stuff I didn't even know about over the weekend. I couldn't find it, but I'm going to try to get it. Y'all don't fool with COVID, all right? Everyone ain't built like one. You dig? So don't take your chances. Be careful, all right? Do your due diligence, all right? And if you're sick, stay home. All right, so I'm staying home. I'm not symptomatic at all. I feel perfectly fine. But I'm going to stay home until I can test negative because I don't want to spread it to other people. All right, because I don't know how other people are going to react. I'll say this. My kids aren't vaccinated, and it wasn't bad. All right, it was like a mild flu, I would say. Without even, because you know sometimes flu can throw some other things at you, like... if you got the flu, you can get the diarrhea, you can get vomiting, real hardcore nausea. None of that really occurred with the kids. None of that occurred with the kids. All right. So if you do hear any noise in the background, that'd be my kids. Everybody's home. So bear with me. I don't know how I sound. I normally don't like the remote shows. I like to be in front of the mic. I like to be looking my producer in the eyeballs. I don't know what's happening. I like to be able to get the text in real time, but be careful out there, all right, with COVID. And it's super contagious, right? Because, it was unavoidable almost, us getting it. You know, you got to take care of your kids. They're sick. They're all over you. You can't, like, lock them off in a room unless you're in... Let me not say that. You can't lock them off in a room and leave them alone. So you got to take care of them. And it's very contagious and you're likely to get it. All right. So there we go. After 3 years, after 2 years having successfully avoided any symptomatic COVID-19, at least, it finally caught up to us. It's out there. And you want to be very careful with it. I take vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. I take cordyceps. I take aloe for gut health. I take spirulina from Miss Yang. Go see Miss Yang. She gets you straightened up. I take magnesium, though not daily. And what else do I take? I take vitamin B. Pardon me. So, you know, and there's a couple other things you should be taking. Oh, quercetin, I've been taking recently as well. So that's good, too. All right. So you guys be careful out there. 63 new cases of COVID-19 over the weekend, or yesterday anyway, was announced yesterday. So you want to be very careful about what you're doing. Like even when my son had it and I didn't have any symptoms or anything like that, I was like, I'm going to double mask, you know, again, I ain't seen the science, but, you know, let's try it. You know, it's like someone said, the physics of it just makes sense. Absolutely, it does. And so that's where we are with all that. Okay, so we are going to try our very best to be as careful as humanly possible as we navigate the whole COVID-19 experience. All right. I don't know what the uptick is about. I don't know if it's about something happened over Easter. I don't know what exactly is going on. In any event, we have a lot to talk about that's outside of COVID-19, but we could also talk about that. Again, I'm no COVID-19 expert, even though I've had it. I just powered through. But a lot of people, it's going to be detrimental to them. And then there's still other variants out there as well. So if I'm having to guess, I'm going to say Omicron. And we'll go from there. And, you know, you can be non-symptomatic and still have it. Because after my son was feeling fine, he asked to go part in his karate tournament. And I said, yeah, we could do that. I said, but I want you to test negative first because I don't want you to go to the karate tournament and give all the other kids COVID or even some of the kids COVID. And I went and he was perfectly fine. No fever, like dry, no cough, nothing, you know, no runny nose, no nothing. And he short tested negative. He short tested positive, sorry, on Saturday. So even if you don't look like you got COVID-19 going on, even if you don't feel like you got COVID-19 going on, you can still test positive for it because he's still positive. And I said to myself, I'm just going to wait a few more days and then try to test out of isolation. So I've just really limited everywhere I go. I've tried to, if I am going anywhere, I don't get out of the car, you know, go get gas, et cetera. You still gotta, you know, try to make the best of your life. But we've been holding it down here in the McCartney household pretty solid for the past few days. All right. And thanks be to God, nobody's gotten really ill and nobody has any what appears to be lingering effects from any of this. All right. But COVID-19 is out there. You guys watch out for it. I'm pretty sure I've had COVID-19 before based on my wife's symptoms. She says she's pretty sure she had not had COVID-19. Like I say, everything has hit her hard though. Like she had, I think dengue was the worst thing she had. She was super sick on dengue for like weeks. In any event, that's where we are. So we're gonna see if we can conduct the show sensibly, remotely, and without any sort of hiccups. I am clearly not smarter than the computer. I can't figure out how to listen back to the show as I'm broadcasting the show, but nevertheless, we shall persevere. All right, so there's a lot going on. Let's start from the top and then we'll bounce around to see what we can make out of all this that's happening so far. So first off, shout out to BPL, right, for weathering the storm. The lights went off a lot, but I get it. You guys are facing challenges. And I only went off for a prolonged period of time about 3 times over the weekend, which I count as being a positive. When there was a major lightning storm Sunday morning, BPL still stayed on, which I found impressive. Now, y'all did fry a lot of people's TVs and other devices. Knock on wood, none of mine got fried, but at least she kept the power on. I've said this before, observing what happened just, I believe, about a week ago, and I'll say it again. We're going to have a problem if a hurricane hits Nassau, besides from whatever intuitively pops up in your head, hurricane, oh God, destruction. We are going to have a problem. Nassau floods too easily, okay? New Providence floods too easily. My area, I'm elevated. It didn't flood at all. But who's to say if like there's sea swells and all this other stuff like that, that the ocean don't rise 12, 15 feet and then all of us are up the creek, right? So we are going to have to look beyond, I believe, just clearing drains and making sure that there's somewhere for the runoff to go. Because water's trying to find its level. And clearly, Bay Street is underwater. All right? It's been built, the road anyway, the street itself, is built underwater. Because it floods way too easily. We have places out west by the airport that are flooding a lot. Now, this was a normal rain. All right, so over 12 inches, that possibly could be a record. Wayne Neely said he's checking, but still, we have to consider that at some point there's going to be a major storm going on and we're going to be in deep problems here in New Providence. And so I figure we need to really look at an action plan to figure out how it is we deal with these occurrences, all right? Because I don't know that most of the hurricane shelters are also not underwater. A lot of them are schools, and almost every public school is two stories, but I think we're going to have a problem. Big, huge, massive problem. All right, so there's that. So someone needs to look at that. Alfred Sears, one of y'all, please let us know what the game plan is. I also am not 100% sure who's in charge of disaster recovery and management at this point, other than like Alex Storr being in charge of the DRA. I think Miles LaRota has some carriage over it, but I don't know who the guy is to go to. I guess it's LaRota. I want to know who the guy is to go to say, hey, man, where's the game plan in order for all of us to survive? Because what I see clearly is that there are multiple flood zones in New Providence, and we really have to figure out how it is we're going to make it through a major storm. And we're looking at increased activity this season, and it's been several years since we have had any hurricane hit New Providence. And, you know, even with Matthew, that was detrimental. But if we have something worse that lingers even more, we're going to have real, real problems. This says, Juan, it has started to rain again out west. My thing is we need to dig a well on Blake Road, a well on Coral Harbor Road, and most importantly, have an agency that has the right to close roads. Many persons tried to go through the floodwaters to go to work. If an agency had closed the roads, people wouldn't have messed up their cars trying to traverse the flooded roads. Agreed. All right. I'm also trying to figure out what sort of vehicles, mechanisms, et cetera, we can put together that maybe can bridge these gaps when we do have these things going on. Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe I saw this on G.I. Joe, like a portable bridge type thing. You know what I mean? Where you could get out of Old Ford Bay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on so far today in the House of Assembly. All right. We have today Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, Chester Cooper, detailing the previous offer, the last offer from Bahamas Port Investment Limited to purchase the Grand Lucayan Hotel. So I want to talk a bit about that. Then I want to talk about the Prime Minister talking about the food program. I don't have any earthly idea, and I'm going to go look at it, why the Prime Minister is so focused on the food program in particular, but I want to understand. So he tabled the audit today, and he talked about some of the things that the audit found, which sound troubling on the face of it. But this is, he's been very, very focused on the food program, and I want to understand more. I'm not caping for nobody on the food program. I don't know what was there. I didn't take part in it, none of this. I didn't even get any food from the food program. I don't know who did what. I don't know what went where, except for what I am told. But these guys are really, really focused on this food program and have a deeper understanding of what's going on. Now, the Prime Minister, I'm going to get back to Chester Cooper in one moment. I want to do something else real quick that's instructive to all. I'm going to help you how to show you how to live your life a little better, a little more wisely. All right. So, Prime Minister Phil Brave Davis today shot down claims the government is conducting a political witch hunt at the Water and Sewage Corporation. Last October, Minister of Works and Utilities Alfred sent his ministry to probe questionable contracts issued by Water and Sewage Corporation to determine whether the matter needs to be turned over to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Those findings are now subject to a police investigation. So police are I do know this, actively investigating matters that occurred under the last administration at the Water and Sewage Corporation. I'm not guessing, that's happening as we speak, all right? And it involves several people who were at the Water and Sewage Corporation previously, and numerous contracts that were executed by the Water and Sewage Corporation over the past several years, okay? So, I didn't make him say this. He just said this. So, Michael Pintard, I like you. You know that. I wanna help you live as fruitfully, as smartly as possible. Okay? Dwayne Sands, I like you too. I get you're trying to do a job. Here's what I learned in life, right? If I wasn't there, I'm not swearing for you. If me and you didn't work together, if you and I had no regular contact on any goings on in any ministry or corporation or business or office, don't look to me for no defense. Whether I'm the leader of the organization or not, I don't know what you did or didn't do. So when I hear Michael Pintard, and I'm sure he maybe has an explanation for this. Are you playing music for the break? See, I can't even hear that. I believe y'all tricking me, like with this, because y'all playing me because y'all know I ain't really up on it. But anyway, if they're playing music for the break, that's fine. We'll get to that in one moment. Look, Michael Pintard. I'm not saying throw nobody under the bus. I'm not saying abandon nobody in their hour of need. What I'm going to say to you is before y'all start screaming witch hunt and who you going back and stand by, understand what it is that you're talking about. Understand you're waiting for a full set of accusations to be made against Adrian Gibson as a leader of a national political party. The way I would deal with that is I would say, I'm going to see whatever evidence unfolds, if they bring any evidence, and we'll go from there. But I'm not going to preemptively talk about, you're targeting somebody and we stand by you, X, Y, Z. I don't know that I'm going to offer that sort of advice to anyone unless I have a very clear understanding of what exactly happened and what exactly went down. Now, if you're Adrian Gibson and you go, hey, man, I did nothing wrong. I stand by my actions at the corporate. That's a different story. But Peter doesn't mean you need to come out front and go defend anything, particularly when you don't know what's happening. I don't know what I don't know. And that's how I live my life. And I could speak to somebody, speak to my interactions with somebody. I could speak to what I've experienced with a particular person or what may have happened when I was involved. But I can't speak to what others do when I'm not around. And I'm not prepared to put my neck on the chopping block for anyone in that regard. Okay? We'll take a break and we're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian.
Oceans your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat. WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. At Wendy's,
years, we searched the globe to find the best. In Italy, we found our bruschetta bacon chicken sandwich. How Italian is the new sandwich? So Italian, it's made with a crispy classic breaded chicken filet with a warm, creamy pesto cheese sauce, fresh diced bruschetta, seasoned tomatoes, and applewood smoked pancetta. This is as Italian as it gets. Available for a limited time only, different inside and out.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth generations.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
To the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I can hear the music now. Now I hear it. All right, good. That's fine. I think we're on track. I'm figuring out this Zoom thing. How does it sound? Is it wonky? Do we have a good internet connection? They kept the fiber going over the weekend. I don't know if there's water in the lines now because of the flooding, whatever that means. But shout out to BTC. All right, so to recap, I'm not defending nobody unless I understand, A, what they're being accused of, or B, I was there to speak to it so that I could really say, this is nonsense and I can defend it. It'll be me, okay? I don't involve myself in these police matters, unless I clearly understand what is going on, all right? So the last time the police come to talk to me was when I called to report a crime, okay? or we were talking on the show, all right? So I don't get involved in nothing like that, right? The police looking for you, gotta go talk to them, son. I don't go talk to them, all right? Let me know what they say. We gonna look at it on the other side when it all come out. Okay, me, I ain't jumping up. Oh, you part of the family. I don't know what gone down. All right? That's my guiding principle. I don't know what I don't know. I don't know. All right? And also, I'll say this. How I live my life, I don't get involved with contract money, all this other stuff like that, right? Like I don't mind signing, right? Like an employment card, like though I do those all the time, right? I could explain to you what did or didn't happen at the Water and Sewage Corporation. No, and not me. Wouldn't gonna be me. And Michael Pintard, no, he wasn't there. I wasn't doing that. And I think that's a lesson that you need to really learn. Someone said, sounds solid and stable like you're in the studio. Okay, excellent, good. Is this this mic? All right, so Pintard, a word to the wise is sufficient. I'd leave that alone, you know? Because then, you know, you don't know what can go down. I would wait patiently on that one, all right? And you can't take the posture as a national political leader that if somebody who's in your party or in your parliamentary caucus is perhaps the subject of a police investigation, that it's a witch hunt and the police are just targeting them for fun. You have to be able to look at the Royal Bahamas Police Force and not characterize it by default as an arm of the political directorate. That's not fair to the police. Again, I don't know what's going on, but you want to be able to look at the police and go, all right, they're doing their job. A complaint was made. They're investigating it. Let's see what all hashes out before we start on this witch hunt talk, right? That's just me. Let's talk briefly about, you can text me, by the way. I don't know if we get day calls. I don't know how this all works. This is magic to me. You can text me at 422-4796, and Kermit, those will forward the text to me. There's a bit of a delay. Don't know if you can call me. If you can, give it a shot. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Let's briefly get into Chester Cooper before we go to our break, all right? So, as you would have heard last week, the Grand Lucayan, there's an agreement to buy the Grand Lucayan, all right? Electra America Hospitality Group, like a hospitality fund, for lack of a better term, is buying the Grand Lucayan Resort, according to the Deputy Prime Minister, for $100 million, investing $300 million in it. Now, the thing about this is that we were never made clear publicly of the details of the last deal or offer to buy the Grand Lucayan Resort that the government canceled. And I thought it didn't make a ton of sense for Cooper to come out and say the last deal was canceled without explaining what the details were or explaining why the government saw a need to cancel it based on what they were looking at, as opposed to, well, it's just not in the best interest of the Bahamian people, because that's really subjective, right? He today explained what the deal was. So Bahamas Ports Investment Limited offered to purchase the hotel for $50 million. Now, a part of the $50 million sale price was a $33 million loan to be financed by the government, which is insanity, okay? So that you can understand, that's like me putting my house up for sale, and you come and you say, okay, I want to buy your house, right? But I want you to lend me the money to buy your house from you. No. On top of that, Bahamas Ports Investment Limited asked for $100 million in cash payouts over 12 years property. So not only are you asking me to borrow money to buy my property, you're asking me to give you money to develop the property, right? So I'm gonna lend you the money, take a loss, all right? And then give you money to develop the property. And also Cooper said that they weren't gonna start development of the property for at least 5 to 6 years. That's insanity. Right? It doesn't even make sense. So, and a part of what BPI wanted was to have the $10 million concession be, they wanted a $12 million cash credit up front. So, the $100 million in concession, $12 million of that they wanted up front. Someone said it happens all the time. It does happen all the time. I'm not aware that it happens all the time with government assets, all right? But I'm aware that it does happen. I'm aware that people will lend you money to buy their stuff, right? I'm aware of that. However, A, I don't want the government in the lending money to y'all. B, that 1 year is an interest-only period and repayment over 10 years, an interest rate is 6% for the first 5 years and 8% for the last 5 years. I don't want to do it, all right? Now, we took out a mortgage, right, with Hutchinson to purchase the Grand Lucayan, which to me didn't make a lot of sense either. And we've satisfied that mortgage as of last March, apparently, all right? But that to me is too convoluted. And here's what I understand from people who are familiar with this. There was actually a great deal of interest in purchasing the Grand Lucayan from many international investors. I understand Phil Ruffin toured the property. All right, he's a billionaire. I understand that the Trump Organization was interested in the property, and that there were several other interested parties in the property. This deal just wrapped us up too much, along with BPI. It would have cost us too much money. I prefer you just purchase the hotel, you develop the hotel, we'll give you concessions, et cetera, like this. So the deal was so bad that the board of Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited, if you remember, was chaired by Michael Scott. He publicly denounced the deal and said it doesn't make sense given what we've invested into the hotel. So we put $150 million in the hotel. And he was saying that there's enough public interest out there on the international market that we don't need to enter into this deal with Royal Caribbean, right? So the Bahamas government, to me, should not be in the business of lending private corporations money to purchase government assets. If you think we should be in that business, then tell me where that ends. All right? And tell me what all that's exclusive to. I would like to know, all right? Because we're not trying to be in the money lending business, as far as I'm aware, other than government bonds, et cetera, right? Where we say, well, anyway, on the face of it, it looks bad. Cooper said that today we've entered into a memorandum of understanding with Electra America Hospitality Group, which to me, that's not something you just say without tabling the MOU. So I'm looking for documentation for all this. So a Communication House of Assembly is very nice, and it's good, and it's a responsibility. But also supporting documentation that we could peruse would go a long way as well. Because I still have not seen in writing the agreement from Bahamas Ports Investment. Well, it hasn't been made public. I've seen a couple of things. It hasn't been made public. And I still have not seen in writing the Memorandum of Understanding between the government of the Bahamas and Electra America Hospitality Group. All right, so it's a start of transparency, but more is needed, okay? We're gonna take a break for news and we'll be right back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. We'll be right back.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're broadcasting from my house because, like I said, I contracted COVID. I'm fine. But until I can test negative, I'm just not trying to be up around everybody, right? So just as I would urge you, you know, if you're about to just be all up around everybody and in everybody's face. Okay, so my apologies. Maybe I was not clear on what I was saying before the break, because someone said that I thought I said something else. So what Chester Cooper said today is that the agreement by Bahamas Ports Investment Limited, someone said, sorry to hear you have COVID, hope you're fine. Thank you for that. I feel fine. All right. So I'm fine. I'm hopeful that the people who are in hospital who have COVID are going to be fine. From what I experienced, it was not bad at all. My wife had a little worse than me. My kids had what appeared to be like a mild flu. But there are people who may not be able to cope with what, like, my wife was dealing with yesterday. So it's going to affect different people differently, but it doesn't appear that it's having these adverse effects on a lot of people. But the cases are ticking up, so, you know, watch yourself. Okay, catch COVID. I didn't do anything, right? I have no idea how my son got it, but I can only assume it was at school because they started having cases and then he got ill, right? And with the kids, it's weird. Like, they, for like 24 hours, they were lethargic and he had like a fever, you know? And you could tell the difference with the kids because they're bouncing off the walls normally, you know? But they didn't have much of an appetite. They were lethargic. But what I'm comfortable with is that they did get it, so they should have some immunity to it. They can't be vaccinated, not with anything over here. Plus, I have my doubts about that. But I do know people who have had COVID like twice. So you could catch it again. I don't know how long immunity lasts. Some say 6 months, some say longer, but we'll see. So right now I feel comfortable that I got some immunity to it. Don't know how long that lasts. All right. And I ain't really hot up to take another booster. Okay, so let me restate what I was stating before. So let's start from the hotel. Was owned by Hutchison, okay, in Grand Bahama. The government of the Bahamas in August 2018 paid $30 million cash for the resort and took out a mortgage with Hutchison for $35 million to purchase the property, okay? So the government paid in cash, and then the government borrowed money from Hutchison, essentially, to purchase the property, okay? The government of the Bahamas is in the, for the most part, borrowing business, okay? All the deficit spending that we do, that's got to be funded by borrowing, okay? So what we do, what we've done for many, 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 many years is borrow to fund our expenses that could not be paid for with other forms of government revenue, such as taxation, all right? So we took out a mortgage with Hutchison for $35 million, paid that mortgage back by March of 2021, is my understanding. It's we were done paying it, we got the hotel. So $65 million total. We then sought to sell the hotel to another interested party. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line International and the ITM Group made a joint venture company called Bahamas Port Investment Limited. Bahamas Port Investment Limited made an offer to buy the property for $65 million, okay? So the government agreed to that, and they signed a memorandum of understanding in 2019, all right? I think it's, I want to say November 2019. Now, when Dorian hit, No, it was before November 2019. Because when Dorian hit, the Grand Lucayne was further damaged. The Lucayne Renewal Holdings that own Grand Lucayne put in an insurance claim for $20 million, and we got $13 million from the insurance company. We took that $13 million and applied it to the mortgage with Hutchison. All right? So that was in your tax dollars, but it all washes out the same. All right? Because there was some damage to the hotel, Royal Caribbean was offered a discount. BPI, sorry, was offered a discount. All right, of $15 million on the purchase price, which brought the purchase price to $50 million. That was kind of finalized and around the beginning, the first quarter of 2020. Unfortunately, the first quarter of 2020 also saw the global coronavirus pandemic, which grounded cruise ships. All right. And so the cruise ships took a major hit. The cruise industry, they now had, right? They were credit negative now, an industry that was booming. And so given the new position of the cruise ship industry, Royal Caribbean and ITM in the form of BPI sought to renegotiate the terms of the purchase. So what they asked for was to buy the hotel for $50 million, but they also wanted a commitment from the government to give them $100 million in cash subsidies over 10 years, or 12 years, Cooper was saying. And they wanted to take one of those payments of $12 million and apply it as a credit to the purchase price of the Grand Lucayne. All right? So $50 million minus $12 million is $38 million. Okay? So now we're looking at $38 million. All right? Because we gave them the $12 million credit. Again, it all washes out the same. Then BPI said, we would like to borrow money from the government, in essence, to purchase the hotel. So the government's not forking out cash to BPI, but BPI is going to and pay us back, right? So we are essentially in the borrowing business, in the lending business, if that occurs. So we were prepared to give BPI a loan of $33 million, 1 year only interest payments, then 5 years, 6% interest, and the last 5 years, 8% interest. Now, here's why that is a problem for me. As I said, we're in the borrowing business, okay? We're borrowing money at well over 6% interest at this point. So my question is, are we borrowing money to lend money to other people at rates cheaper than which we borrowed it? It doesn't make any sense to me. So no, I don't want the government to lend a private corporation money, in essence, to buy our assets. You can either afford it or not. Why would I borrow money on behalf of the Bahamian people to lend you money? It makes absolutely no sense. Now, if I could borrow money at 6% interest and at 12% interest, we could talk about that. But I'm not borrowing money and going into debt in order to help your private corporation. You got to figure that out yourself. And that's my issue. That to me doesn't make any sense to, in essence, lend a major corporation money to buy one of our assets. All right. Either you have the money or you don't. And as I said, many people I am told were interested in this property. I'm getting some drip drabs of information now, but again, I want someone to just do a data dump and put out all the information, all right? I understand KPMG did a report on it. Table the KPMG report. Let's understand all of what went down, all right? Now, Michael Scott and the other people at the board at Lucayne Renewal Holdings just were against the last offer that BPI made. Davis came into power in September of 2021, and they said that they're not going to accept that offer, and that it was wound down. And now Electra America Hospitality Group is going to purchase the... Now, we do want public disclosure. We do want transparency about all that has gone down with the Grand Lucayne, because it's our money, right? Cooper says $150 million, right? That's a lot of money, okay? Now, am I against government borrowing money to shore up an ailing Grand Bahama? Am I against government borrowing money to ensure that workers who are owed their funds get what's due to them? In essence, no, I'm not against that. All right. But you've got to show me what that looks like on the other side, right? What are we doing it for? We can't be doing all that and borrowing money from Hutchison and giving people $30 million cash when, you know, our money is scarce, man. That ain't no light feat to come up with $30 million cash, even in good times. All right. Ask Lang. He'll tell you. All right. So I'm not interested in borrowing money, taking on debt. All right. In order to then lend money to a private corporation. Either you could pay for a one out of two. All right. And that's it. It's more of a, yeah. Sorry to hear you have COVID, but I hope you're good. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. Right. So I don't know if everybody else will be good. I've been preparing this whole time. I've been trying to avoid it, but you know, the way it is, it's very contagious. And just being in the same house as somebody, clearly you can contract it. All right. So I think that the offer from BPI was not in our interest. I agree with Chester Cooper. I agree with Michael Scott and the board of Lucayan Renewal Holdings. I would need Diagler or someone like this to come and explain to me what they saw that makes sense about this that I don't see. Because this don't make no sense to me, but that's just me. All right. Cooper says he believes another $10 to $15 million will have to be spent in indirect costs. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Transaction is completed even on its current trajectory. All right. So what I'm hoping for is that Electra Hospitality is definitely committed to living up to its word and will invest in the property. We heard from Cooper today some more information about when the properties are supposed to be open, and everything's supposed to be redeveloped, reopened by summer of 2025, which is 3 years from now, which is solid. He said that the Grand Bahama International Airport will be open by January, or the new facility will be open, at least in part, by January 1, 2025. That's his commitment. Now, they also have the Carnival Cruise Port going on. And I'll say this, right? I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's the FNM. I don't care if it's PLP. I just want to see Grand Bahama getting back up on its feet. And I want the same for the Bahamas, right? So I'm not saying be rash, but I'm saying the speed at which they're doing these things, keep that momentum. Keep that momentum, all right? And reduce these barriers to investment, all right? Go to the table with investors. Cooper was in Grand Bahama on Thursday, said they went to Carnival, all right, because that's been lingering for years, the Carnival Cruise Port, and they started construction on Friday. They went to Carnival, and they said, let's see what we got. Let's see what each person wants, and let's make it happen, all right? And that's what you got to be doing, because I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about something else here in a moment, all right? I'm going to say this. The way things are shaping up in the States, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade or make anybody feel down, we're headed for a recession, okay? Now, you might go, well, that's America. Yeah, I can explain to you, if you ain't sure, what's going on with America. America accounts for 2/3 of the world's commerce, all right? America have a recession? All us around here are going to have a recession. For accounting to 2/3 of the world's commerce, America is our main tourism market. All right? So they're saying that they're looking at a 2024, 2025 possible recession. They believe they can ward it off. You know, I'm hating on Biden or nobody, but I think they miscalculated in printing so much money and giving out so much money. Trying to re-stimulate the economy when the economy was really already catching back a fire. All right. And now they're having to take measures to slow the growth. All right. Slow inflation, retard inflation. And the U.S. Federal Reserve, their main tool is to raise interest rates. So that makes it more expensive to borrow XYZ. All right. We can't do those things. And so I will segue into this, and I'm willing to discuss this and someone have a dialogue with me or debate, whatever you want to call it, about this. So I don't understand then, given what's going on in the global landscape, and I'm not trying to hate, I don't understand how the FNM believes that the Davis administration can legitimately and significantly buffer Bahamians from inflation in the United States and indeed around the world. So you're talking about food prices going up here. You're talking about VAT on bread basket items. No problem. And like I said, I would have taken the VAT off the bread basket items and then been like, well, there you go. People still can't afford the food, right? So I don't understand how if eggs are like $4.50 a dozen in Florida, which is unheard of, all right, how we're going to come other than jumping into food security really quickly, and that's going to take quite some time for you to generate any sort of critical mass. How are we supposed to blunt the shipping costs, the fuel costs, the cost of storage, and all these other things that are going on to bring food here? How are we supposed to blunt the rising cost of construction materials when we don't hardly make no construction materials here? How is that something the government realistically can do other than just give out cash so that people can more easily meet their needs? And they did say they were going to do some of that. But what does that look like? Does that mean the government pays everybody's electricity bill? Because right now the government is paying a portion of your electricity bill by not allowing the fuel charge to be properly reflected as to what BPL is actually putting in. And it's not sustainable. Does that mean everybody gets a food voucher, a food credit? Does that mean everybody gets direct cash assistance for their rent? And how is that sustainable? Those are ideas, those are suggestions, but how is that sustainable? Because if you understand what's happening, this is beyond our control. Now, you could do certain things, like I saw Barbados did a couple of things with shipping, and mainly the government is foregoing revenue in order to help blunt the cost of things, but the cost of stuff is still sky high. Right. So I understand that any bad news nationally is something that the opposition wants to hop onto, wants to harp on, beat the government over the head with it. But I really don't understand what they believe the government of the Bahamas is positioned to do that could seriously impact inflation when we don't cause the inflation. Right? The inflation is just happening in the United States and we just eat it. So I don't understand. And now if you maybe have some ideas about it and we could discuss those, but I don't understand what they're talking about other than it makes the government look bad, so let's do it. Which in raw political terms, hey, I got it. But you got to be able to really look at these things realistically and be like, you know what? This isn't something that we're doing. It is just something that is happening and we got to figure out how best to deal with it. And it sucks. Don't get me wrong. It's a pinch for me even. I mean, I say me even like I'm bits out here. I'm a working dude. All right. And luckily I have a job. Praise the good Lord Almighty that helps me to be comfortable. But this is getting tight for me, all right? All right, let me do some of your text messages. It says, wow, sorry to hear, but happy to hear y'all are coming along nicely. Thank you. It says, I hope you ain't, in fact, Dwight. No. I wasn't in contact with anyone like that. I was double masked. It says, your daughter already had COVID. She has natural immunity, remember, for COVID became a thing. She got really sick. Then you got sick. I listened one. Hey, you're right. That may be true. My daughter was real sick. And then I was sick. That was a couple years ago. This says, I want to trust you and your family that will get well soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I'm not sure why, but my electricity in Yuma Estates and Tropical Gardens was off since 3 p.m. yesterday and came back on after 10 this morning with no explanation. Wow, that's brutal. I'm so sorry to hear that. I do think y'all fried my oven, though, BPL. Like, the thermostat doesn't seem to work, but anyway. The oven was kind of on its list in any event. Good morning, Juan. Two things. Are we still mandated to stay home 7 days when you contact COVID? Not that I'm aware of. I think you stay home for 5 days and you try to test out. So it's been five would be Friday. I was feeling symptoms. Five would be Tuesday. I'm going to try test out on Tuesday. Are we still mandated to stay home 7 days when you contact COVID? As I say, I, from what I remember, it's five, but I have to double check. It says, as we know, light will be off. We need to put surge protectors on our homes. Yeah, I got mine. It says, you can go, I think, to AE Electric. They have whole home, house, surge, and voltage protector you can put on your meter box and protects the whole house. Maybe you mean AG Electric or maybe AE Electric. Is AE Electric, is that the one on the highway? I have a voltage protector for my entire house on the outside of my house, where BPL meets my house. And I also have a voltage regulator inside my box, the switch box, right? Breaker panel. And I still have had my stuff fried. I still got to put stuff on surge protectors. You know, BPL cooked the washing machine. These things cost money. I got it to just be buying washing machines left and right. It says, hey, Juan McCutt, is that break music or... am I tripping? Anyway. Hey, Juan McCarty, swear for Shane Gibson, Michelle Reckley, Frank Smith, and Ken Dorsett. They stood by their side, although none of them was there. Now you're spewing this BS about Pintard shouldn't stand by Adrian Gibson. I'm not spewing no BS. You may consider it BS, but I consider it wisdom. I'm not going to go stand up and vouch for nobody unless I was there. And I wasn't going to do it if I'm Brave Davis. And Brave Davis did stand by everybody, too. I wasn't going to do none of that. All right? When the coppers get involved, I got to step back as a national leader and say, I respect the police as an independent institution. Let them do their job. And we'll see. Now, I could say you was my friend, right? And even if you did do something, we still could be friends. But I ain't just going to back you as a matter of being a leader of a political party and put the whole party behind something that I'm not sure what it is. I got to look out for the interests of the party. And your interests and my party's interests may diverge depending on what shakes out. You got to go to a break? Okay, let's go to a break. And we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.ca? Sign up today. and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, heat and cooling water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away five priceless trips to Miami for two people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. Getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I can sometimes hear the music. Like, I have my headphones plugged into my microphone. I don't know if that's the problem. When I plug it into my laptop show, I don't hear myself. So it's weird. All right, so it's raining again out here. We're going to have deep, deep, deep problems. All right. We got to start figuring out how we're going to build our properties higher, possibly build roads a bit higher and go from there. I don't like the rain, but I'll tell you one thing. My lawn looks fantastic. All right. Prize winning. So I won't complain. All right. So Brave Davis, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, today talked about the government food program. Now, I know who trying to sit down the report into the food program is 138 pages long. Word? 100. When y'all had time to produce this? Dang. 138 pages of food program audit? Good Lord have mercy. All right. I'm going to have to digest this in chunks. I can try to read it today. I don't know. I intimidated just looking at 138 pages. This is a story written by Christelle Roll. Let's see if we can get to the meat of what was going on. I didn't actually hear all of this today. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said the audit report into the operations of the National Food Distribution Task Force makes for startling reading and documents major deficiencies, including widespread inconsistencies relating to the sums of money handled. Davis tabled the report in the House of Assembly this morning. He said, while those involved in the food program seem content to provide random and extraneous documents to the media or self-righteous statements to this House, they spent $53 million of the Bahamian people's money. Okay. He said, in the general findings of the audit report, 18 categories of major deficiencies were noted. These range from a complete absence of minutes being kept of meetings, agreements, and actions to widespread lack of record keeping and widespread inconsistencies relating to the sums of money handled. Among the 12 categories of specific findings, it is noteworthy that some organizations concerned still have refused to provide any information whatsoever. And hard though it is to believe, no evidence has still been provided to support financial and accounting information along with weekly and other reports to the government. Davis added, given the sums of money involved, the deficiencies are breathtaking. And he said public officers did not have oversight in the expenditure of funds. Okay, so that's a problem right there, okay? So to me, that's a problem. Public officers did not have oversight in the expenditure of funds. What does he mean? They just gave money to the NGOs and they did what they wanted with it? It says information dashboards presented by the task force today. So for example, just to highlight the point, if the task force is saying they gave an NGO $100,000 and the NGO is saying they only received $80,000, what's happened to the difference? Boy, you know what? Let me say this. I'm with you, Brave David. I want to know what happened too. Now, when Obi Wascom said that they didn't, the World Bank asked for information and ain't nobody got it, I got to see that in the report to understand that, because we got some information and I know he got some information. And Maria Daxson was out here whiling talking about free up the report. I sent a request to the World Bank and called them and left messages and nobody answered me. It ain't just the Bahamas, y'all, right? A lot of people who work in major organizations around the earth just perhaps aren't on the ball. I don't know. Maybe it went to spam. I don't know. And she never checked it. That could be it. I want to know what happened to the food program money as well. It's our money, okay? So just like I want to know what happened to the money for the Grand Lucayan, I want to know what happened to the food program money. I got no problem with the government investigating it. Some people take issue with the Prime Minister talking about what occurred with NGOs. But if I'm an NGO and somebody questions what I did with the money that you gave me, that ain't nothing for me to feel offended about or be like, well, I'm helping y'all no more. That's just part of corporate governance of running a non-government organization, right? You expect accountability. I don't expect if it's an issue, if I give you government money and then I come back as a government and go, show me how you spend my money. You go, well, what would me down for over this money? No. It's public money. I'm accountable. You're accountable as an NGO under the law. Explain to us what happened to the money. So as far as them looking into that, I got no problem. And you shouldn't be no NGO and feel no type of way like you above being asked what happened to the money. If I give you $50, I can be real with you. If I give you $50 and you're an NGO and you can't explain to me what gone down with my $50, don't look to me no more for no $50. Don't look at me crazy like, oh, what happened? Like, so for instance, anyway, let me shut up. Excuse me. It's not the Rona. I do have the Rona, but it's not a coronavirus cough. All right, let me do some more text messages. I don't know who can call me. I don't know what I'm supposed to be listening to or hearing. I don't know. We'll try to figure it out. We'll do some testing tomorrow. This says that. It says, y'all keep talking about an action plan. It's called storm drains. They're around for decades. Plus, great job, Chester, on selling the hotel. And thank you, Brave, for freedom of information about what happened at the food program. It says, did you say in the House of Assembly today? Yeah, today. It says, I wasn't aware that there was a session today. The leader's obligated to stand with his team member, even if they were wrong. What? Nah, Playboy. Hold on. What? Let me repeat that. The leader is obligated to stand with his team member, even if they were wrong. How you figure that? From where? Like when? Like how? You wrong and I back you in your wrongness because you part of my team? No. Mm-mm. Not where I come from. If you wrong, you wrong. Okay? Nah. You could stand by them and go, they was wrong. They need to apologize. Are they subject to, you know what I mean? But I must defend them even in their wrongness? No, sir. Look at what happened to Wayne Monroe, right? He got Davis them wouldn't defend in that, and Cooper them when Monroe's given his point of view on that, on the issue of the consent, right? He had to come back and go explain it, right? I don't agree with that. I don't agree. You stand by someone just if they even if they're wrong. I wouldn't. I don't expect you to stand by me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I expect you to. How if you on my team, and you start screwing up and you wrong, I don't call you out. So then. Just by virtue of being on the team, you get to do wrong. So what's the mechanism through which you get off my team? Because me and you don't like each other? Because you ain't giving me enough potato salad at the picnic? Like, what are you talking about? We don't have standards of conduct now in political parties, in political organizations, no? I don't care if you're wrong, that's he with me. I don't operate like that. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Listen. You could be my mama. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I want to know who all got this money too with the food program. It says, did the police make an official statement that they're investigating a sitting MP? The police did tell us that they're investigating some things to do with the Water and Sewage Corporation. Alfred Sears has also confirmed that the police are investigating some things with Water and Sewage Corporation. And they said that they're investigating some of those things on Long Island. They didn't call any particular names. So I am not trying to call up no one name a bunch of times, but I only say Adrian Gibson because that's what Pintard went out there and responded to. Wasn't going to be me. I could tell you that. I remember during the Pleasant Bridgewater and Torino Lightborn trial, Allison Maynard Gibson testified that Pleasant Bridgewater had come to her talking about there was an issue with John Travolta's son, et cetera, and all these other things that were going on. And so she said she called Hubert Ingram, who was prime minister at the time. And Ingram said to her, she said, call the police. Okay? Now, my energy and Ingram energy in that regard are identical. Yeah, you ain't call me, ask me what happened. That's someone else. Or someone messaged me and said, and I don't mean to be flippant about this. Someone messaged me and said that someone was threatening their life, right? Or threatening their son's life. And to them, you need to call the police. All right? That's what the police are for. Are they perfect? No. But this is what the police are for. All right? To investigate and prosecute crimes. You don't get me back. Nobody who wrong. If I know they wrong too, no, hell no. Hell to the no. And you wrong? I don't roll like that. I'm so sorry. So several years ago, and the FNM likes to latch onto this so much because once they catch you one time, y'all could screw up everything. No, nobody's supposed to say nothing to y'all. But anyway, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So we attributed comments from George Smith to C.A. Smith on the front page of The Guardian. All right. And it was wrong. And I was the editor in charge. And I should have caught it. I should have triple checked. And I was wrong. Okay. And I called C.A. Smith and I said, look, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It wasn't nothing malicious. He kind of like gave me the cold shoulder. You know what I mean? Because I guess people was in his ear about he must sue or whatever like that. But it was a no defamation issue. We were wrong. When the punch was around and y'all was gunning with y'all homeboy, menacing the punch, they had my name on the front page of the punch. Talking about I screw up and all stuff. I was wrong. I can't sit there and go, oh no, we were right. And let's defend each other. And da-da-da. No, you wrong. You wrong. All right. I don't be wrong and give no excuses or look for shelter from nobody or nobody. Oh, y'all have my back now. Nah. Wrong is wrong. You got to eat that. All right. I don't know. We part of the same political party, so I'm going to stand by you if you're wrong. Nah, bro. We could be friends, but if you're wrong, you're wrong. That's how I roll. Y'all different. One, can the responsible agency please search and remove deceased animals from our public streets? As a citizen, I find this truly disgusting to see, especially when it becomes a part of the road. Who are we as a people? I never explain to you the... I always get it. People take everything so literally. Have I ever explained to you the cycle of life that occurs, right? That I've come to understand, particularly about when dogs get knocked down? Right? How the people leave them there and they become part of the environment, the different stages of rigor and decomposition and deterioration, and eventually they're folded back into the cycle of the earth. I agree with you. It is disgusting. Someone said the report says Showman E. Bistro got $5 million from the food program. I know it is on the food program. I would have signed up. Well, I had work. That would have been wrong of me to sign up. This is one that almost sounds like a shell company, something like the Blue Water deal. Oh, the BPI? Look, if it's me, I'm going to ask for what I want. Okay? And if I believe I'm in a position to say to the governor of Bahamas, lend me the money, okay, to buy y'all asset, that's what I'm going to do. Now, is it completely out of the ordinary for the government to lend people money to buy government assets? No. All right? Or to buy particular assets? No. So, for instance, the government would have allowed you to do a salary deduction to invest in the port shares, right? The government allowed people salary deduction to invest in the Arawak key port as well, you know? So in essence, that's a loan, but that's for the benefit of Bahamian citizens to own a stake in a major asset in their own country, which is something the government should be doing. Do I want my government to go lend a private company money to buy an asset and then pay them to redevelop that? No. I ain't got no money. That's okay. It ain't no thing. Somebody else can buy it. It ain't no issue. If you ain't got the money, I get it. You ain't gonna feel bad about it. You couldn't control the pandemic. You couldn't control what happened to the cruise. I get it. This just ain't for you. All right. Let's not force it. This says this government is an embarrassment to the citizens of this country and to NGOs who continue to do the work. Well, like I say, I don't mind accountability. But this singular focus on this, I don't get it. But I can read the report and maybe I'll get it. Says one, it sounds like a primary school student wrote the FNM's deal with Carnival Cruise Line. Glad the PLP changed that foolish deal. Yeah. Juan, the devil's in the details because this deal sounds good on words, but has me questioning it based on what the DPM said. I hope he's transparent with it. Yep, me too. Says, is the government mentally unstable? Question. This says, Juan, hope you and your family continue to recover. Listening to your show, where are the efforts with feeding ourselves to the country? What is happening? Says, Juan, can we all agree that the most important issues facing the Bahamas is food and energy independence? Let's focus on the hits. All other talk is album filler. Not agree with you that and energy independence are the most important issues. Are they very important? Yep. But we have a lot of exigent needs right in our face. One of them being that y'all can't stop killing people. Says one, get better. American activity has a significant impact on our economy. There's no way that the U.S. thought that inflation was going to be transitory. They printed way too much money. Now they need to stop paying people to stay home and start stimulating industry. Their policies will either make or break us in the medium term. Let's hope they do the right thing. Since it's called governance, one, they're in the chair, and so they have to figure it out. Hurricane Dorian and COVID-19 came, and the last administration struggled to overcome it. Inflation and its effects is the burden of this administration. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that you have to deal with it. You have no other choice. You're in the seat, and people are looking to you for relief. There's no question about that. I don't have any illusions about the government's in the hot seat, and now it's theirs to deal with. All right. My thing is, you have to be realistic when talking to the Bahamian people about what you actually can do. To pretend that you have some magic bullet that's going to make this all go away or ease up right up and now, that you're in any control of that, you just live in a fantasy world. You don't have control over inflation coming out of the United States. Now, I don't think food independence is our most important issue, but it certainly is an important issue, and we need to look at it very carefully. All right. Also, you know, the breadbasket, it's trash, right? A lot of it. Says one, that's the problem in this country. Too much hypocrisy. No one stands for what's decent. Principles are always sacrificed at the altar of expediency. So I respect you, bro. You're not an ordinary Bahamian. Trust me. If ordinary Bahamian goes, because you is my boy, even if you wrong, I'm going to shield that, then no, I'm not ordinary. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And you got to make it right. And I'm not going to head in any organization that says, as long as you're in the clique, we can defend you. It ain't like that. I can't defend you if you're doing wrong. How am I supposed to defend that? Hey, Juan, this pie in the sky economics the opposition is portraying is illogical and nonsensical. They borrowed $4 billion. How do we expect for this administration to pay for responsibilities? This pandering to the poor all of a sudden is not going to work. Yeah, I mean, I feel you. And you know what? The FNM made missteps. Not going to sit here and go, the FNM should not have borrowed money. They just didn't have a choice. Right? It just is what it is. Nobody saw the pandemic coming, really. We could not have avoided the impact of it. There are certain things we could talk about, we could debate, we could discuss that could have been done locally maybe to ease up some of that pressure that didn't have to make it so hard on folk. But at the end of the day, in terms of gross domestic product, that was out of our hands, man. You know, if they ain't flying in here from the state, they ain't flying. We can't go round them up and make them come. Right? So we are where we are. We're hoping next week when we hear the budget communication that we get some sense of where it is that we're going. But as far as curbing inflation, it's just a very, very difficult, difficult thing to do. It's difficult for the United States to judge us, right? All right, we got to get out of here. That's going to do it for the show today. You guys take care out there. Going to try to test out of isolation tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. I'm fine. My family's fine. All right. We got hit with the Rona, but we're going to be okay. You guys take care out there. Be careful. All right. It's picking up, you know, to me, it's nothing to stay in your house and shake it in your boots over. But, you know, if you can avoid becoming ill, then please do so. That's my guiding principle in life. All right? You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.